Indeed it does, and we thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Damian Barling along with Jason Ross. This is The Lowdown. You can listen to us anywhere in the entire world right there on your phone. Download the new KHTK app in the App Store, regardless of whatever team Samsung, team iPhone, whatever you are. Just go to the App Store. Are there any other phones besides Samsung and iPhone at this point?
Yeah, just a flip phone.
Which you have.
Yeah,
which
of is course.
Usually takes you 47 minutes to return a text messages because you
But keep, I don't misspell
keep
anything.
Keep passing. You definitely.
The Zach Morris phone.
Yeah.
The Zach Morris phone. Yes, indeed. Why? Can we pitch something to the Golden One Center, to the folks at the Sacramento, like 80s night at the.
Oh, they've done stuff like that. That'd be fun.
It would be whoever walks in with a working brick phone.
A working one.
Yeah, they so great. They win something. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but they
upgrade
win something.
To the front row.
There it is.
Yeah.
Boom. Those are Jason's tickets. We'll get back into the NFL here in just a little bit, including things that we learned this week. Or maybe not. Mm. Also, best and worst of the weekend.
Yes.
Get those in here. Share yours with us at 44-1140-339-1140. Your boy is playing hurt today, man. I was really trying to play it off for an hour. I feel like
right.
Hell. Like, you know. Like, does this happen to people? Like, you go away for a few days and you come, and I went away for longer. Like, I don't do the 6 days. Like, I'm good going away for like three, and I'm perfectly happy. I'm very much a homebody, and I like being home with my dogs and my routine. I went away for six, and I, you know, when I left last, I kind of had this, I could feel something coming, but I take care of myself in a way. I think I can fight most of that stuff off. Like, yesterday afternoon, it was like, feel weird. I don't know what it is, but I feel. And then about 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock last, weird manifested itself into something else, and I felt like hell. So you guys don't know this, but I'm like plopping my head down on the on the council every, and I'm trying so hard to fake it, but I realize at some points when we're talking, I have to take these big deep breaths. Like, dude, what is wrong with this guy? Like, what is wrong with him? So I apologize. I don't know what's wrong with me.
You could have taken the day off.
No, I don't do that. Come on, man. Calling sick. This is a lowdown.
I know.
Don't do that, man.
I remember that last year. You know you're getting sick. Like, you would tell me that. I'm
like, well, that's
I'm trying not to.
Because I can hear. And that's the other thing. Like, I hate acknowledging, like, okay, something.
You don't sound like you are.
But because I don't think that's it. Like, I told you, I feel like I have some sort of food poisoning. And I don't even, like, I keep saying this. There can't be, like, a contaminated plant. Like, I can't. People get food poisoning usually from, like, meat or something, or from, like, restaurants. Like, I didn't eat anything like that.
Could there be – no, I would think you could have something else inside of – I know you, what you eat. Like, would there be any other –
pesticides on it? I don't know.
No, there's definitely vegetables you get sick from.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Remember, there's, like, every 6 or 8 months, there's a – plant recall.
Well, wasn't Chipotle, all that stuff happened at Chipotle? Wasn't it the produce and not the meat? Like, everyone thought it was.
Yeah, the one I remember was because the workers were sick.
Oh.
And they went to work sick and got everybody else sick.
Yeah, mine's not like I got a cold or I feel warm. There's just, I don't know what it is, but there was no way I wasn't coming into this.
You don't have any like sauces or anything like that that you eat or anything? I'm trying to think if there's something else besides. I mean, plant-based stuff should be relatively, but you never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just, I faked it the whole hour, and somewhere in the middle of that sentence, I was like, I just had to say something. Because we're honest. We share our lives with you. I'll be honest with you about something else. What's going on at the University of Tennessee is really embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the university, it's embarrassing for the people at Tennessee, and it's embarrassing for Greg Schiano. Here's the one thing I know about Greg Schiano, and this is from people who worked a lot closer to the NFL, that I feel I don't think I could play for him. Just he has a very, very unique personality. It worked at Rutgers. It didn't work at Tampa Bay. He seems to be doing a fine job there at Ohio State. He's gotten the backing of this is the other thing that pisses me off about what Tennessee did to Greg Schiano, and I do believe that they did something. If Greg Schiano had anything to do with covering up what Jerry Sandusky did, then he's going to rot in his own private hell, and he'll have to deal with that. But the fact is, he was kind of mentioned almost half-heartedly in a conversation, in a deposition. He was never called to testify. He wasn't even a part of that. He wasn't even a footnote in that Jerry Sandusky case. And part of me wonders now that Greg Schiano has suffered, like, serious harm, if he can sue the I forgot his name, the redhead guy who blew this whole thing up.
McQuarrie or something?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. I wonder if he can sue him now for libel, because he's denied this from the beginning, and now he's suffered serious financial harm because of it. And to watch those people, to watch those protests go on at the University of Tennessee, hey, you know me well enough, I'm all for protest. But don't label this dude, don't put this under the context of sexual assault.
Yeah.
This is not sexual assault. This is not covering up child. He's not even, he is so loosely associated with that case. And to see, you know, politicians there in Knoxville get involved, particularly, and don't take this the wrong way, but particularly Republican politicians there in Knoxville, which is a very red state. It's like, don't get on your high horse about a case that happened so long you probably don't even know about. It's not like there's a Hollywood Access tape of him openly talking about sexually assaulting people, mm-hmm. where there's a very clear amount of proof. Don't get on your high horse about this, because there is absolutely no inkling of evidence he did anything wrong. And I'm not for it. We've discussed, Baylor, Art Briles.
Yes.
Never should coach in college again.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's a whole lot of smoke around that fire. There's not even lighter fluid around Greg Schiano. And worse, what I think this all boils down to is that people in the media talk about Tennessee like it's an appealing job. And I've said this to you for a long time. It's not. It hasn't been since Lane Kiffin packed up to go to USC, that job just became worthless.
Right.
It's like, because Lane Kiffin, believe it or not, Lane and Monty Kiffin were turning that thing around there. And there was a ton of excitement around the University of Tennessee football program. And they were upset when he left. Very, very upset when he left. And they've never been able to get their footing back again. They're no longer a desirable school. They're no longer a desirable football program. They're no longer a desirable men's or women's basketball team. And that's sad because of what that's Pat Summitt school. That's Peyton Manning school. That's Philip Fulmer school. And that's really sad.
And Fulmer's still around doing things, correct?
He is. Absolutely.
The whole situation was bizarre. When I first heard about Schiano likely getting the job when all things were going forward, I thought, wow. I just kind of like you said earlier, I'm not the biggest fan of his. I think he would be a tough person to play for, but I could see how he could help turn a program around. I'm not the biggest fan of his, but all right, he's been around again. He's worked hard. He's done a good thing at Ohio State, helping build that defense. So I thought, well, I mean, you know, he's done it before. I can see where they're going. It's a different look, but I can see where they're going. And then when I heard the word that like it was falling apart, and a lot of it was stemming from social media reaction and just the snowball of that, and then reading more about it, it just stinks and looks funny and weird. And you do need to listen to your fan base, but how much? And I mean, if you do that all the time, okay, the first time a coach loses game one, then you fire. I mean, all of it was just bizarre. And where are they going now? And what are they doing? This is a strange, strange situation.
When you start to look at the Lane Kiffin exit from Tennessee and the response to that, and you start to look at this Greg Schiano incident with the university, who are they going to now that's going to go like, oh yeah, I want that job? We were just talking about the Cleveland Browns and how it's when you're like Kyle Shanahan was, when you're a sexy offensive coordinator who everyone is looking at and staring at, you're going to get your opportunity to pick where you want to coach, because there's going to be some teams, and there's going to be some teams that are on the cusp, like the Rams were. I think the 49ers might be on the cusp of building something there, you know, over the course of the next few years. No one believes Cleveland's building anything. But when you go to Cleveland, you have those – you're now at the bottom of the interview pool. This university for so long has – the John Gruden thing has been floated out there so many times, they think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
John Gruden's not going to coach the University of Tennessee. Nobody of note wants to coach the University of Tennessee. Hell, you want a good coach? Philip Fulmer's still in town. Hey, sorry.
Just bring him back.
Here's $10 million. Our fault.
Yeah.
Fix this.
And by keeping the Gruden name out there, anything that you don't get, anything you get, it will feel less than Gruden, right? And now you've just hurt yourself with this whole situation. Florida was taken, but with A&M, with Arizona State, and who knows what else is going to happen.
All better jobs.
Yeah.
All better jobs. And T. Martin was a name that was brought up. T. Martin is the guy who was the quarterback after Peyton Manning,
yep,
won the national title.
Mm-hmm.
He's coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what about T. Martin? T. Martin has distanced himself from the University of Tennessee. Why do you think that is? Because of the way they treated Philip Fulmer on the way out, because the way they treated Pat Summitt on the way out. They just have this line of succession of treating people poorly. They're, the athletic director put out a statement today. Coach Schiano worked at Penn State from 90 to 95. Consequently, we, of course, carefully reviewed the 2012 investigation, what we know as the free report. Coach Schiano was not mentioned in the free report. We also confirmed that Coach Schiano was never disposed, never asked to testify in any criminal or civil matter, and we confirmed with our colleagues at The Ohio State University, who has conducted a similar inquiry after the 2016 release of testimony. I know that Coach Schiano will continue to have great success in his coaching career, and wish him and his family well. You said all of that. He also he says we carefully interviewed and vetted him, as we do all of the candidates. Mm-hmm. Why the hell isn't he the coach then?
Still could have been.
Why is he? You did all that. Yeah. Why is he not the coach?
And they put that release out today, didn't they?
This was posted on freaking Twitter today.
Yeah, from the AD.
Athletic director.
Yeah. Who was?
Who's been the athletic director, by the way, for 9 months.
Yeah.
And guess who's getting his head called for
right
today by some big money boost? This is another thing. This has I know we want to believe in the groundswell and the protest. Hell, I want to believe in the protest. There was an angry donor somewhere.
Yeah.
Who donates a lot of money, who thought, wait a minute, this stinks.
Yeah.
Rightfully so, or not. That's how this started to snowball.
Well, that gets back into the other dirty
Florida
part.
Wasn't happy with their hire either.
Right.
They just didn't have the word sexual assault to throw into their little hissy fit that a guy with a losing SEC record got their Florida job.
Yeah, they just keep going. They're going to go with him.
That's it.
It's the other part of the, the dirty part of college football, right? The other stuff that you think is out there where, okay, boosters are a big deal. You have to have those supporters that help in different areas for your program, but how much do you listen to them? How much control do they have? Should they have as much control? They do have control. It's just all that is the shady part of it.
Where is Frost going to coach?
I don't know, but he should be a top prospect.
They were 0-12 at Central Florida. They were 0-12 a couple of years ago.
He's flipped it.
They're on the verge of going undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how you take a. I don't know how it works. Like you take a guy out of a school like that. I think it's similar to a Chris Peterson situation,
yeah,
right? Where you take him out of Boise State's cute.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're putting you in the
He's
big
doing
conference.
Just fine.
Yeah, we're gonna put
Made
you in
the Final Four.
So,
it's. I think if you can coach, you can coach. I know there's different parameters, a little bit bigger scale and all that, but you can recruit.
And that's it right there, yeah. Jason. We got to go back to what was one of your. Original or what is one of your concerns about Chip Kelly to your beloved UCLA, and that's not his ability to recruit, it's the fact that he doesn't like
he has said that, yeah,
and you have to be able to do both. You have to be great at both. You have to woo teenagers, you have to woo their parents, and then you have to be able to coach them
and even the boosters or your alumni. You
oh,
know you
absolutely.
Have to schmooze when you need to. I don't feel like a lot of those fit into the sweet spot of Chip Kelly. But, and the other part that he gets a lot of credit for is he was an innovator. He's kind of ahead of his time offensively. I feel like a lot of people are doing things that Chip Kelly once did at Oregon. So I don't know that he's that much ahead of his time, at least in that realm, anymore. But, you know, if part of, I thought, what his recruiting success was at Oregon was also utilizing Phil Knight and Nike, mm-hmm. which was smart. I'm not even... But UCLA's Under Armour, will that take away from some of his charm and different things that he was able to do with Phil? I mean, I don't know. He has a bigger pool to recruit from, but recruiting is the whole deal in college football.
And to try to tie that together for people who may not understand it, Under Armour is not based in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. They're based in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Obviously, Nike, that's Phil Knight's school, yeah. and it's based right there in town. So the possibility, the recruiting stuff, the recruiting part that Nike plays in is absolutely immeasurable
yeah.
for the University of Oregon.
And they were one of the first schools, whether you think it's silly or not, but try to imagine yourself being 18, 19, 20, and, wow, I get to wear this uniform this week, and then this one next week. Oh, look what we're wearing in 3 weeks. Oh, we've got this. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. And kids enjoy that.
Not just that, Jay, but it's the gear you get.
Right.
Like, it's a big deal.
Yes.
It plays a part. That's why Jordan – spreading over to the University of Michigan, spreading over into these football schools now, not just being associated with that. That's why it's a big deal. Some people still, even some people in this profession, don't understand the value that these shoe companies are to universities. And the value is massive. Under Armour is probably significantly more valuable in like Maryland,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, the Baltimore area where they're based, those schools in that area, significantly more valuable there. But you were dead on with Phil Knight and Chip Kelly
yeah.
and Nike in Oregon. And
he was ahead of the curve on that.
But Chip, I think, is still a charmer. And I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Well, he's a name, right? And that, and he has had success in the Pac-12.
And he's a name full of promises.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what – we're going to score 50 points a game.
Yeah.
You're going to get the attention of every scout in the country because – or excuse me, you're going to get the attention of every NFL scout because you're going to throw for an absurd amount of yards. You're going to run for an absurd amount of yards. And we're going to rack up an insane amount of touchdowns. And, oh, by the way, we're in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Everybody is going to be watching us. We just got the nod over USC because of me.
Yeah. I just wonder about, and obviously his greatest example is Mariota, who is an NFL quarterback. But he's playing the NFL a little bit different than he did in college, a little bit. He still runs, but he was a read option, run, throw. He was the perfect combo. That's not a quarterback we see a lot of in the NFL. So is he going to miss out on recruits because of that, or is he going to get just more of these just dynamic, great athletes that are awesome college players that, if they work in the pros, they work in the pros?
Well, think how many great athletes he can get now without leaving town.
That's very true.
I mean, now he's competing with USC.
Yeah.
And I think L.A. kids want to play in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's USC or it's UCLA or it's Oregon or Washington – The Pac-12, just as the SEC does, which two entirely different styles, which is why I was so adamant about Chip Kelly being in the Pac-12, is two very different styles. But the Pac-12, as there's no standout team in terms of, well, this is a smash mouth team. You never hear that term associated with the Pac-12. Chip knows what he does, and that, he knows what he does well, and even though he's publicly stated, I don't like recruiting, I think he's going to do a great job. I can't believe I'm significantly more excited.
Well,
about this
again,
are.
I know.
I'm trying to get you excited. It's not working.
Well,
I know
how this works.
You're not buying it.
If they're 10-2 and they're going to some significant bowl games year one and year two, and then all of a sudden they're threatening for the top four, I'll be first team all chip for sure. Mm-hmm. Just going into it, I'm not that fired up.
Come on, man, get on board early. Yeah. I'm all about it. I love this.
Right.
I was excited to talk about this with
you.
Yeah, a little downer. That should be more excited.
Beat USC every year.
Okay, well,
I'm in.
Well,
I'm in.
Well, so that's the now. Of course, as it is every year, Harbaugh's name is mentioned with NFL coaching jobs. You can't leave Michigan as a coach willingly if you haven't beaten Ohio State. Mm-hmm. It's actually funny that Michigan can't beat Ohio State at this point. For
Ohio State people,
for
Michigan people.
Yeah, I think it's six in a row. And is it like 12 of 30? It's something absurd. Like
for as good as both teams have been, that is pretty crazy.
Brady Hoke fell into a win, I think, when he was there, which is, again, amazing.
Yeah. Which was one thing for UCLA. For Mora, his first 4 years, he beat SC. So that was like, okay, doesn't matter. And he won 10 in his first 2 years. Well, the last two, he hasn't beaten them, and they've really fallen off.
And isn't that how Harbaugh became Harbaugh? Beating
probably
his rival?
Yeah.
And when he was at Stanford,
he was
at Stanford.
Yeah,
like that's how you beat your rival.
Yeah,
he can't beat Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
and you can't. His name's going to come up every single year.
Yeah.
He could coach this team. He could coach that team. He could coach blah blah blah. Okay, he can't leave Michigan. That's his home.
Yeah,
and if he leaves them without the ability to beat Ohio State, Harbaugh takes on a whole different type of connotation there in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, without knowing his full roster, I found it interesting watching some of that game this weekend. They were talking about how early on he was probably, especially year one, he was ahead of schedule, how he had Michigan really competitive year one and year two. This is year three, and there's definitely a setback. People are like, wow, the job he's done even with this roster. I'm like, wait, shouldn't this be more of his guys now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was almost like they were giving him a break, and, hey, he's coached. He's done a good job there. But it's just interesting, that little cycle where this feels like this should be his guys.
Well, he did so well the first year.
Right. He set the bar so high.
It's like, oh, man, this team is like 3 years ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
And then the next year was like, no, they're still there.
Yeah.
And now we're here like, okay.
Right.
I don't know.
So next year they go in as a preseason like 21 or something. It's like, okay, what are they?
Yeah. Yeah. Where, what is he?
Right.
And who, and that's a, you know, that's a question that I didn't, you know, he's a Pac-12 guy. He's a Stanford guy. I don't feel like Stanford plays the way of the Washingtons and the way of
they're the most physical team in the Pac-12.
Right. That's exactly what I was getting at. That was a good win for them on Saturday.
Yes, it was.
I wonder if anybody here predicted that. Maybe two people.
Well, you for sure.
I did. No, we both did. I just didn't like Notre Dame. I think I feel about Notre Dame the way that you made me think that you feel about Miami a couple of seconds ago when, you know, Miami lays that big egg this past week. And it's like we want them, for whatever reason, I guess because of nostalgia or history, we want them to be good. And Miami's been good through the bulk of the year. I'm not going to take away. Yeah, I'm not going to take away from what they've done. But Notre Dame, like, year after year, we try to force feed Notre Dame into these college football playoff talks or these best team in the country talks or whatever it may be. And it's at the end of the year, it comes along. It's like, very much not.
So what do we do with Alabama?
Four or five.
Yeah.
That's where they are tomorrow night, four or five.
They're fine, right?
I don't know, because who's five? If they're four, then who's five? Because they can't play themselves
up. They don't play again.
If they're four, they're not getting any higher. If they're five, I think it's going to be positioned in a way. Remember, J. Ross, this is a TV show.
Right.
Right? Next week, the big unveil when the, there'll be an unveiling tomorrow, but I'm talking about next week when the conference title games are over. Where's the drama? Well, the drama is going to be, we'll lay out a couple of scenarios and we'll get into, but we'll lay out a couple of scenarios for the college football playoff, which will be revealed tomorrow, and some things that we learned or maybe not. Week 12 of the NFL season. That's next. A couple of notes here and a huge breaking story in the NBA. First of all, for those who took the time to tweet the spinach E. coli outbreak, thank you. I appreciate that. God bless y'all, man. I seriously appreciate it. I knew vegetables could be contaminated. It's just you're not used to hearing that. You're used to hearing like contaminated meat and different things like that. So all that reached out on Twitter with those different stories, much, much appreciated. But J. Ross, this is a stunner in Memphis.
I'm just shocked. You were actually reading a tweet, like a follow-up to one already. Yeah. You're like, J.B. Bickerstaff is going to be the interim coach going forward. Like, wait, what? And then we kind of backtracked.
I thought, is Fizdale sick?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
And he apparently is out. Now, they've gone 2-11 in their last 13 after they were one of the great stories to start the year. But apparently there might be a little bit of something going on with Fizdale and Marc Gasol. And obviously the other huge part of this is Mike Conley has been out. I'm just stunned by this information. That he is gone.
He's one of my favorite coaches. I'm shocked by this.
Yeah, a little over a year into his coaching career there at Memphis. I know he'll bounce back and be on a team sometime soon and a sideline, but I'm sure there'll be more to this story.
He'll be just fine, but we both looked at it like, okay, wait a minute, what is going on here? So David Fizdale is out as the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. J. Ross just laid out some of the most recent statistics. They're alluding to, without flat out saying, there appears to be an issue. I'll read this tweet verbatim. Word out of Memphis this past summer already was Marc Gasol and Coach Fizdale were on very poor terms after some confrontations in practice. Seemed inevitable they'd have to pick between one or the other eventually. This is not a recent thing. It's from the folks at Draft Express there on Twitter.
Well, that's too bad. And players usually win in this. And I'm not saying that, you know, Fizdale is in the wrong or Gasol's in the wrong. I don't know. I don't know enough about the intel on that part. But 9 times out of 10, players win in this situation.
He's not going to have a problem finding a job.
I don't think so.
He's not going to have a problem at all. He might
go right back to Miami even to join in the short term back on that bench maybe.
Yeah.
Spolstra.
That caught us both really off guard there during that break. So that's the latest out of Memphis. David Fizdale out as the coach of the Grizzlies. J.B. Bickerstaff will take over. I guess J.B. Bickerstaff, how many times has he been an interim coach?
That's just all it says. He can't be head coach. He's everybody's interim. I don't even know if he was in Memphis. He's right. Like, oh, we need an interim. Call up JB. Get him on the hotline.
He was Houston last year, yeah. right?
Or and I think he's been a couple of them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. How many interim tags? Is this a record? Can we call Elias? Can we get this checked on?
That's two already. Two head coaches gone in 20 games.
Wow.
Yeah, Phoenix and Memphis.
It took me a second. Yeah, Earl Watson was fired after multiple 30-point losses.
Yeah.
Sean Cunningham, our buddy at Over at ABC, just reminded us the Warriors will be without Steph Curry and Kevin Durant tonight as they take on the Sacramento Kings in Oakland. Andre Iguodala is doubtful, and Draymond Green will be available to play.
Well, they got still quite a few good players.
All right. We'll see. Door's open, though.
Yeah.
Door's open.
Yeah. You're not going to get a much better chance to beat them, certainly in their building. Doesn't mean you will. They'll still be heavy underdogs, but you'd rather play them without those guys.
Really did not expect to go the NBA route there at all. That completely threw us off. We were talking about the college football playoff there for a minute, Jason, and I wanted to ask you, and I purposely told you, all right, I'm going to ask you this question, but I don't want you to tell me until we get on the air, because I saw the AP, and I've seen, you know, all the people's different or heard different people's opinions. Where would you put tonight, not next week, but tonight, heading into the SEC championship, when the rankings come out, where would you put Auburn after beating Alabama and Georgia? Two-loss Auburn team that beat two teams that at various points this year were the number one teams in the country.
I think I would put Auburn at 3. Too low, too high?
I would put them at 1.
Okay. And I was thinking 1 for a second, but
they beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl, the rivalry game.
Yeah.
They beat Georgia is it consecutive weeks or two out of the last 3 weeks? They beat the two teams that you anointed as the number one teams in the country. They've beaten both of them. I understand that they have two losses.
That bothers me.
But they've beat two number ones. No one else this year is going to be able to have that on their resume.
And
now they have to beat Georgia again.
Right.
I completely understand that. They have to beat Georgia again.
And actually did pretty relatively convincingly in the second half over Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Just the two losses bother me, but I'd have them in. And to me, they do control their destiny. Beat Georgia, no problem. You're in. You're for sure in, whether that's 1, 2, 3, or 4, but you are in. But you lose, you're out. And that's three losses, even with those two great wins. So I honestly don't even think the number where Auburn is matters, because to me, win, you're in, lose, you're out.
That's true.
The tricky one is if they don't win. So if they lose, we have eliminated them.
Mm-hmm.
Logic would then say, well, Georgia won the SEC. Okay. Well, you split with Auburn. You did lose to Alabama. What do you do? Do you put both in?
You won the SEC.
Then who are you leaving out?
Well, that depends.
Right.
Because now
Wisconsin? Oklahoma?
Now we got to watch.
Clemson?
I originally thought they might leave an undefeated Wisconsin out. Now I just – there's no – they can't. Because if they beat Ohio State – they're going to be ranked a pretty high team. Shockingly, after a bad loss to Iowa and a bad loss to Oklahoma, their Ohio State is still in the conversation. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger question is, if Ohio State wins, Oklahoma and Auburn win. So you have two. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma's in. If they beat TCU, they're in.
Oklahoma's in.
Auburn's in. They beat Georgia. You have Bama there. You have Ohio Clemson. State, and you have Clemson.
Yeah.
Well, Clemson, let's say they beat Miami. They're in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Bama didn't play, but Ohio State has two losses. Bama was ranked the number one team in the country. Ohio State never was. But Ohio State played a significantly more difficult schedule than Alabama played. You notice Nick Saban never talks about the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Nick Saban never talks about college football rankings. What was the first thing he said after the Iron Bowl? We should absolutely be one of the top four teams in the country. We're good enough. He knows he has to start campaigning. So what happens then in that scenario with Clemson and all those teams that we just laid out there ahead, Auburn and Oklahoma, when if it comes down to Alabama and their schedule, who was ranked number one, and Ohio State, who just won the Big Ten with two losses, what do you do?
I would leave Ohio State out, me personally, but that's a really tricky one because what I don't like would be as Alabama did not play for their conference championship. I don't personally like that. I don't know how you fix that because I think without a doubt they were the number one team in the nation. They did lose their final game. which ironically kept them out of the championship. Mm-hmm. I think their loss isn't as egregious as maybe, well, Ohio State's two losses, but Ohio State was afforded another opportunity to still play in their championship. And they took advantage of it by beating Wisconsin, assuming your scenario. That's why this is so difficult, because it's all judgment.
And again, what did they do that year?
Which one?
That year that they beat Wisconsin to sneak into
It was great.
They
won it.
They won the first college football playoff.
Yeah.
In the same token, though, Bama, they didn't win the SEC in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's precedence for both. And where they go, I'm that's the theater, right?
Yeah.
TCU beats Oklahoma. I don't think any of this is a conversation. Yeah. None of this is a conversation, because you can get Bama in with no problem. You're not going to put TCU in. TCU's not getting in if they beat Oklahoma.
No. What's the messiest? TCU winning, Miami winning?
I guess that's messy.
Ohio State. Well, you're probably just moving a bunch of those teams in.
Yeah, every teams are just moving up there at that point.
I guess the four that we would maybe think are in now, Clemson, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Auburn, maybe if they all lost, they all could lose this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be messy.
Yeah, because then you only have Georgia for sure.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to go from there.
And I said,
well, that would probably make Ohio State a for sure candidate,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I would think so for sure. The one that's interesting is, I think it was 2 weeks ago I told you, from that point on, yeah, I think it's been 2 weeks, they said from this point on in the history of the college football playoff, nobody has lost this late and made it in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is going to be a different year.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we think so. So
it's also Bama.
It is Bama. I think it's tough to leave them out. The way we've equated this, we've always said this, it's a funny example, but if you had to pick the four NFL teams this way.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's
like, brutal.
They're the Patriots. So it's like, no, well, I can't.
Steelers.
I can't leave Tom Brady out. I mean, Bill Belichick, I know, but they lost three games.
You got the Steelers.
Right.
Got to put the Steelers in. Yeah. What about the Vikings?
Right.
The Rams?
Yeah. Yeah,
the
Rams.
The Saints?
Like, let's say.
Rams beat the Saints head-to-head.
Who would be a good.
This conversation would be ridiculous.
It would be funny, but I'm trying to think. We don't have quite the scenario. Maybe if Seattle keeps winning and the Rams keep winning, and we say, yeah, but. The Rams didn't even win their division.
Mm-hmm.
If Seattle beat them somehow, right. The Rams are 11-5.
We just mentioned all of these teams who we continuously ignore week after week, and I think it's just part because they kind of leave a bad taste in people's mouth. People don't know what to think about them.
Hmm.
Carolina keeps winning.
Yeah,
they keep winning. We've seen the sulky, we've seen the pouting, we've seen the losing, we've seen the winning.
It's because
they've seen
like
the happy.
Yesterday.
We've seen various different incarnations of Cam Newton, and he's the face of the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
They just keep winning.
Yeah. But again, kind of like they did yesterday, where it's not pretty, and then they're losing, and then they come back and win. You're like, oh, okay, they beat the Jets. But
where's the pretty W column?
Good point. They all count.
They just keep winning.
Yep.
Best and worst of the weekend. We will share yours with us. Spoiler alert, I already gave it to you. But best and worst of the weekend, we want to hear from you as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. That is next on the Lowdown. A couple of David Fizdale Sacramento Kings jokes coming in.
Mm-hmm. Are they good?
This just in, Vivek Ranadive reaches out to Coach Fizdale, stating that he is the next Steve Kerr.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a number of those. I can't wait for Fizdale to get another job, come back, beat Memphis in Memphis, go to the presser and say, take that for data and walk off.
Not going to rook us.
Yeah. Take that for data is one of the great press conference lines of all time. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 if you want to jump in here on the conversation. Text line always, that's going. We appreciate all the texts coming in here at 44-1140. As well, Kings basketball coming up at 7:30. J. Ross back, double duty today with Kings Live at 7 o'clock. All live from Oakland, California.
From Oakland-o.
Oakland-o.
Yeah.
If the song comes on the arena, will you dance?
Oh, without a doubt.
Like, dance like no one is watching. Dance like you're Marshawn Lynch. I love good Marshawn.
Yeah.
Marshawn was very
it's all right.
Animated.
Yes.
And I love that.
Yeah.
And I don't recall who the announcers for yesterday's game was, so forgive me. But I know I love the point that he kept bringing up was there. Marshawn Lynch is wearing the defense down.
Mm-hmm.
He's touched the ball 26 times. His yards per carry is maybe 3, but he is wearing them down, they're just going to continue there. The Oakland Raiders, they're just going to continue to be able to control the ball. And not that anyone ever thought they had a chance to mount a comeback, but the Denver Broncos aren't even going to be able to get their ball in their hands enough time to do anything.
Yeah.
I like animated Marshawn.
I do, too. It's a good version of him.
Best and worst of the weekend. I'll get my worst out of the way because we already talked extensively about it. It's really difficult to come out of this weekend and not think the worst thing to happen in sports was what went on at the University of Tennessee with Greg Schiano, with those students there, with the politicians there, with the athletic director. It's all a big mess that makes a university that I have a little bit of a tie to. It just sucks, and it's really, really embarrassing. And I think Tennessee needs to start getting a better feel for who they are. There's no Peyton. There's no Pat. There's no Bernard King. There's no Ernie Grunfeld. Yeah. Like I don't know if universities can rebuild, but the University of Tennessee is in a serious rebuilding process.
They need
right now.
They need to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a let's go positive. You got a best of the weekend?
Yeah. You know, it's going to be college, but it's actually college basketball. This is kind of random, but I don't know if people saw this. I think this was Saturday. It was Saturday. So there's all this great college football going on, but Saturday night Alabama played at the Barclays Center, and they had injuries.
Yep.
They had a brawl. They had ejections. They had a foul, and a guy fouled out. And so, with about 10.5 minutes to go, they played the final 10.5 with three players, and they got the game within one possession. They ended up losing by 5. But watching the video and some of the highlights of that was just fascinating, where they literally were playing a guy at the top, not even top of the key, like the foul line, two guys kind of to the paint, and just making them try to shoot jumpers, trying to box out, and they were scoring. And it was just, it's one of those things where I like odd and weird things where, you know, hey, a catcher's now playing second base or just different scenarios. But in this one, to have three players play and play well and nearly win, I thought it was awesome for Alabama.
Kind of reminded us of our rec league games, right?
That's right. We had to play with four, and we were hanging in there for a while, a couple times.
And then a foul out, and then three, and then we just kind of gave up.
And we lose by 40.
I'll piggyback on your best and say listening to Avery Johnson talk about that game was even better because, you know, Avery Johnson coached it. He was like, we weren't trying to survive. We were trying to win, and we were trying to figure out how to run flare screens with three people. Like, we were figuring out a lot on the floor, and we weren't just looking to be competitive or not embarrass ourselves. We were trying to find a way to win that game. And listening to him say that, I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
I love Avery Johnson. That was a unique sight.
Oh, it was great. It was fun to watch, and it was when I heard about it, I thought, it was probably the last few seconds, but it was 10.5
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. That's the same thing I thought. And you mentioned the brawl, which is worth pointing out, because a lot of guys got ejected
there. Yeah, from the bench, yeah.
But that's – see, I feel like, Crabtree and Aqib Talib is all fresh in our mind right now. That's not exactly what it was.
No.
They were hard and fast with the don't leave the bench rule. And everybody left the bench, and the refs threw them all out.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like a big, giant melee. It was a couple of guys – didn't know better, ran out onto the out, guys.
Yeah,
you're out.
You're gone.
So Avery did what he could. Did
and
a hell
did
of a
more
job.
More than hang around, which was pretty cool. To only lose by 5, too.
We're going to talk more about this team here in just a few minutes, Jay Ross, because I watched them. You know, they had the TV. You know, they had the spotlight to themselves last night in the primetime game. And I feel like week after week after week, we come in and we talk about, you know, we talk about how impressive the Vikings have been. I know I've been really high on Philly. I've been really high on Los Angeles. It's how impressive they are. You know, we mentioned Carolina. They don't get a lot of love. You spent a lot of time talking about the Saints and Alvin Kamara and how great that defense is. And yet Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger just continue to be great. And if I were to narrow – We're going to talk more about the Steelers here in a few minutes, but if I were to narrow down a best of the weekend, how Antonio Brown continues to make catches like he made last night in the fourth quarter with seconds left on the clock, really putting them in a position to win the game, is extraordinary.
Yeah.
I know what Julio Jones did yesterday was spectacular, but on a team with – and the Falcons have weapons, and that's a team we're going to have to give some love here pretty soon too because they're playing pretty good football right now. Antonio Brown is the best wide – this is almost sacrilegious, so sorry. Antonio Brown, to me, is tracking to be the greatest football player we've ever seen.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he is that good. We look at Jerry Rice, right?
Yeah.
Jerry Rice, not just the greatest receiver. When people try to differentiate from a position and say, right, who is the greatest football player we have ever seen, the name that constantly comes up is Jerry Rice.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that is about pure athleticism and what he can do on
and
a
longevity,
football.
Yeah.
I feel like if Antonio Brown has that longevity, he could be that. I don't know that anyone will set the records that he sent. Like, they were showing, I think it was Larry Fitzgerald, some of the marks that he's starting to eclipse. And you see, you know, I think it was yards maybe, or it was receptions. And you see Jerry, and then you see T.O., and you see Fitzgerald moving up that list. But you see, you know, Jerry at number one and T.O. at number two, but there's like a 300 reception difference.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go.
It's insane. But I don't think anyone will break those records because they're so,
yeah,
they feel insurmountable. But what Antonio Brown does on a week-to-week basis, I just find to be absolutely extraordinary.
And with Pittsburgh, I think too many times they kind of flirt with their opponent. Like yesterday, they seem like the much better team than Green Bay, and Hundley plays well, and Green Bay has their chances to win. They have the couple bad losses this year. I think the game they had 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that Thursday night, they really had a good game against the Titans. But they're in the close games a lot, and I don't feel like they're dominant, but I feel like they're really, really good. They were my team to make the Super Bowl, but I just feel like they're good enough, and they find ways to win, which is obviously the most important thing. They just haven't been as dominant to me as, like, Philly has been.
I don't know. Did you get a chance to see Mike Tomlin and Tony Dungy yesterday before the game started?
I did not see that.
Here's a clip of Tomlin talking to Tony Dungy in a sit-down interview yesterday. I thought this was great. So I'm really bad at my job, and I set that up poorly. That wasn't the conversation with Tony Dungy. That was a question that he got after the game about his conversation with Tony Dungy, in which he said, I expect to play the Patriots two more times, and we're good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the most casual thing. Not like, if we do this, if we do that, if we play like we're supposed to do, and one thing that Mike Tomlin is really good at doing is prefacing stuff like that. If we play Pittsburgh Steelers football, we're going to win. Well, everybody thinks that. Hugh Jackson probably said, if we play Cleveland Browns football, we're going to win.
Yeah.
He said, no, we're good enough. I think we should be in the Super Bowl. We're good enough to be in the Super Bowl. And he was mentioning the game with the New England Patriots coming up. We're going to play them two more times. We're going to play them in the regular season. We're going to play them again in the playoffs.
I'm not sure. I love what he's saying because I think – that's the way I try to look at it when you have a game. The best way you can do it, you can't predict turnovers, you can't predict mistakes, but I say if this team A and team B play their best, who wins? I don't know. So if we're putting that equation as the Patriots and the Steelers, and if they both play their best, I don't know that Pittsburgh wins that.
I'll tell you what scares people in the AFC yesterday, or what should, is the fact that the Patriots had yards on the ground yesterday, which they never do. We'll talk more about the Steelers. I do want to mention the Packers a little bit and what Brett Hundley was able to do. We'll dig back into the NFL here as we kick off hour number 3 of this Monday edition of The Lowdown next.